I'm sorry? Baruch Hashem, I'm just running a few minutes late, so I'm trying to get everybody, but Robert and Iso are talking together, so we'll get started. Chris, how are you?
Okay,
everybody's doing well.
Yeah, how are you? Good to see you. I'm good, Roger. How are you doing? Great.
Well, I'm doing good.
All right. Good to see you.
Okay, let's get started. Please join me in saying the Ana B'Koach. Ana B'Koach, Gedulat Shemincha, the letters of the month are Tzadi, that created the constellation Dali, Aquarius, and the Bet, that created the planet Shabtai, the planet Saturn. Together, they have a gematria of 92, which connects us to the unity of the physical and the spiritual worlds in the same sense that we unify those two when we say Amen. Kabel rinat amcha sagvenu taharenu nora kufre shayin sintet nun. Tiferet na gibor Dorshe Yehusha Kivavat Shamrem Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin Barchem Tacharem Lachame Sid Kavcha Tami Gamrem Betet Resh Sadi Tav Gimel. Chasin Kadosh Vero Tuvcha Nael Adata Chet Kuftet Chet Nunayin. Yachid Geyeh Lamcha Penei Zokre Kiddushatach Yud Gimel Lamed, Pei Zayin Ku. Shavatenu Kabel, Ushma Tziakatenu, Yodea Talumot, Shin Kufav, Dadi Yud Tav. And the eighth verse we say in a whisper. And now, reading from the Zohar, from section 16. I'm reading from the Parsha of Bishalach, verse 219. Vayhi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'aseh yadeinu kononeh aleinu ma'aseh yadeinu kononehu. V'al da'atane nan Moshe zamin l'meymar Shirata l'zina Di'ate memtet Begin diktiv Imeitzatcha Me'eretz mitzrayim Arenu niflaot Arenu arecha Miba'ele Ela arenu mamash L'ma'an dechama V'kad meita Yechemele Tin yanut V'dahu Aranu di'utiv Aranu b'yesha Elohim v'arehu Yeshuati Ugdein az yashir Moshe Ufne Yisrael Et hashira hazot La Hashem. Therefore we learn Moshe will sing the song in the future to come. What is the reason? Because it is written, as in the days of your coming out of the land of Egypt, I will show him marvelous things. He asks, should I will show him have been used? Should I will show him have been said, I will show you? He answers, rather, I will show the very one who saw originally, namely Moshe, for he will see a second time, and this is the meaning of I will show him. It is written, I will show him the salvation of Elohim and show him my salvation. These are two verses from Tehillim, from Psalms. And then shall sing Moshe and the children of Israel to Hashem. Rabbi Ashlag is putting the consciousness that it is Moshe who will be the same essence singing. And Moshe represents the totality of the children of Israel. His consciousness is inclusive of every one of the 600,000 men, 600,000 women, and however many of children were in that generation. And it is taught that every human soul that ever came into the world was at Sinai. Every Jewish soul was at Sinai. And those Jewish souls are inclusive in Moshe. And the idea of the future singing of the Song of the Sea, Az Yashir Moshe, being done by Moshe, is also inclusive of the children of Israel. And that's why the halakha teaches us that each and every day we are capable, and the halakha says we should sing Az Yashir Moshe. And when I start to teach the class on prayer, and eventually we will get to that portion of the morning prayers, and we will discuss it at that time about what is the meaning of those manifestation of the 72 names of God, which is done in the Yam Suf, in the Yam, the Shir Hayam, the Song of the Sea. As we know in the scroll of the Torah, it is a different pattern, the pattern of the three columns, the pattern of the Star of David with its six stars. It's in the scroll, in the Yam, the Song of the Sea, Shir HaYam. Much is there to be learned. Are there any questions before tonight's class gets started? Okay, the, yes, Joe.
Last week, you mentioned unity, and
Everything's the same. Am I correct on that?
Well, I have no idea what I say, so remind me.
Okay. You said that the unity, you gave an example, the sea reflects the sky reflects the sea.
Yes.
Okay, you said that. So that's not unity. Everything's the same. If everything's the same, how do we differentiate between an apple or a pear?
The simplest way to answer you is to say it's a paradox. But that doesn't give you a practical answer. So I want you to look at the light bulb in your room. I want you to remember that light bulb has three components. It has a positive pole, a negative pole, and a resistor. When the electricity is switched off, the light bulb is dark. And what can you see? You can see the three components. Hold the light bulb up to your eye, and you'll see the three components. You'll see the positive pole, you'll see the negative pole, and you'll see the resistor. But when the switch is thrown, and the electricity flows, and the light comes on, where do you see the positive pole?
I can't see it.
You can't see it. It's all there. All three components are there. The apple and the pear are there in potential. But they're in unity at the same time that on a potential level, they're in diversity, that they're separated from each other. Where is your consciousness? Are you looking for them to be separated? Are you looking to them to appreciate the diversity of the creation? Or are you looking to see the unity of the light, of the fulfillment? It's up to your consciousness to determine what you see. You cannot have unity in a place where coercion was used. You've seen throughout history, one country conquers another and imposes its will on the conquered nation. And yet what truly happens? The conquered country takes over the conquering country. The consciousness of the conquered becomes superior, takes control. This is the lesson of history. We can only be in unity when we appreciate the diversity of the creation. When we give people the opportunity to express their diversity. And at the same time, the paradox of uniting with them in unity. It is a paradox. It's hard to understand, but this is the kind of intuitive answer that the Sefer Yetzirah is teaching us how to connect to. Thank you for asking such an excellent question. And I hope the answer I've given you is satisfactory.
Yeah, I think it's kind of flies in the face of the Aristotle, but...
Well, you have to remember, Aristotle learned from the sages of the Jewish world, from the Sanhedrin. Of course, that's not well publicized, so... Bacha, do you have the Hebrew out? Okay, I'd like you to read both Mishnah 4.1 and 4.2, Aleph and Bet.
Orin, Sefer Yetzirah, Perek Gimel. Orin, chapter 3.
No, we're in chapter 4. Dalet. We just finished last week, chapter.
Okay.
Actually, before you start reading, I'm going to explain. Tonight is a very unusual class. I'm not going to give you a meditation. And actually, I'm not sure that we'll have enough time in 1 hour or even an hour and a half to cover all of what needs to be covered in this class. There are parts of this class that when I was taught, my teacher skipped over that I think are important to teach you, knowing who my students are. So we'll see how far we get. But this is an intellectual class, not a practical class. And I normally am teaching a practical class in the Sefer Yetzirah, giving you tools of meditation, tools of the letters to make your connection. And I will be giving you some of that tonight, but I will also be teaching you from an intellectual level as well. So, Batya, please read Mishnah Dalet Aleph and Dalet Bet.
Seven Tfilot, is that the one?
Yes.
Seven Tfilot, Beged Kofrat, מתנהגות בשתי לשונות, יסודם, חיים, שלום, חוכמה, כושר, חן, זרע, ממשלה. ומתנהגות בשתי לשונות, בית בית, גימל גימל, דלת דלת, תף תף, תי תי, רש רש, תף תף, רך וקשה, גיבור וחלש. תפולות שהן תמורות. תמורת חיים, מוות. תמורת שלום, רע. נוסף אחר, מלחמה. תמורת חוכמה, נוסף אחר, חרוצה, עולם. תמורת עושר, עוני. תמורת חן, כיעור. תמורת זרע, שממה. תמורת ממשלה, עבדות.
Thank you very much. I truly enjoy your expression of the Hebrew because my pronunciation is so corrupted. These two Mishneot are teaching us the beginning of teaching us about the seven double letters. In chapter 3, we learned a number of different meditations using the Aleph, Mem, and Shin, the mother letters. During chapter 4, we're going to learn meditations and connections of the double letters and their meaning, their involvement. And it's an amazing, amazing tools. As I said, I'm not going to give you any of these meditations because you've been given them over chapter 3. The same meditations that I taught you for the Emesh, for the mother letters, you will eventually apply to the double letters. But there is a difference, and you're not ready for that till you learn some of what's going to be taught tonight. The first thing we need to learn is when Batya read, she read the phrase Begad Kafrat. And that is the appropriate way to read those two words in the Hebrew, in modern Hebrew. But what they stand for is the individual letters. Begad is Bet, Gimel, Dalet. Kafrat is Kaf, Pei, Resh, and Taf. The seven double letters. In the second Mishnah, Batya read Bet, Bet, Gimel, Gimel, Dalet, Dalet, etc. And that is correct in modern Hebrew. But it's actually the sounds, the reason the letters are repeated. It's bet bet, gimel jimel, dalet talet, kaf kaf, pei fei, a resh, and a resh sound that we don't know. Taf and taf. Each of these letters have two sounds. We need to understand why. By the way, you guys let me go on without letting me tell you where to get the readings and the handout for tonight. There is a handout at yeshem.com/sy23.htm. Yeshem.com, yeshem.com/sy23.htm. SY stands for Sefer Yetzirah. I'm just going to start reading. These Mishnayot refer to the seven double letters. Each of these letters have two sound forms. When the words are printed, sometimes the letter will be printed with a dot in the middle, and they sound one way. And sometimes the letter is printed without the dot in the middle, and they are pronounced another way with a different sound. An example is the letter Bet. When it has the dagesh, which is the name of the dot in the middle, it's a B sound. When it doesn't have the dot, it's a V sound. And most Americans are taught that that V sound is a duplicate of the letter Vav, which is not a double letter. But the letter Vav is not truly a V sound. It's a W sound. But that we'll cover when we get to chapter 5. But as we have stressed when we talked about the mother letters, and when we talked about the chapter 2, the sound is extremely important. And we lack the merit to know all of these double sounds. And we'll discuss that as we go down this handout. The word dagesh means the dot in the middle of the letters. You will only find them in certain letters, the seven double letters, a hey, sometimes other, an aleph or a vav. The word dagesh in Hebrew means to emphasize. In the normal usage, it means the dot in the middle of the letter. Okay. Some of the sounds of these letters are used in modern Hebrew, but Biblical Hebrew, also known as Oriental Hebrew, has different sounds, and you need to understand that. There's a whole bunch of chats going on, so I'm hearing these noises, but I'm assuming that nobody wants to talk to me. They're listening. So please forgive the sounds. This is a very important point. The B sound, the V sound, the R sound are metaphors. I'll give you an example that we spoke about in the mother letters. The letter Shin is not an S or an SH sound. The letter Shin, the letter Shin, the sound of the letter is Sh. The SH and the S sounds are metaphors for us. Always remember that. The sound of the He, which is a single letter, the elemental letter, the sound of the He is the blowing out of our breathing. We breathe in, we make a sound. We breathe out, we make a sound. It's not the H sound. It's these are metaphors. The Aleph is not a silent sound. The Aleph is the indrawn breath that you must take to make every other sound of every other letter. We're going to be discussing correlations tonight. We're going to be discussing correlations on many different levels over the next few weeks. The correlations are metaphors. What is the essence of a letter? It's not a word that I can describe. It's an energy. Understand the metaphor for an energy is a word. The metaphor for an energy can be a sound. The metaphor for an energy can be so many different kinds of things. And that's why each of you has the potential to understand and connect to this energy of these seven letters on an individual basis. And what your perception of the energy of a letter is may not be my perception. And they're both right. What is the rule in all of my classes? Never believe a word I say. But please try what I ask you to do. And eventually in this chapter, in the Sefer Yetzirah, I'm going to get around to teaching you meditations. Please try them. When you are building a golem, when you are using the letters to open a gate, you can use these seven letters, these seven doubles, with either sound. And you will open a different gate, a different energy, a different place. But it's up to you, and you need to learn to know why there is two sounds with these letters, so that you can make the decision. Which sound do you use? What are you trying to accomplish? We'll teach you which sound you use, and we'll talk about it later in more detail tonight. When the dagesh is in the letter, it is called forceful or severe or judgmental. When the dagesh is not in the letter, when it's missing, when it's concealed, it's called graceful, merciful. Graceful is the name. Grace is the name of the Sephirah of Chesed. In the old Kabbalah, prior to the Ari, the name of the Sephirah that we today call Chesed was grace, was Chen. Chen is a metaphor for Chachma Nestar, for concealed wisdom. What is the essence of mercy? When you think about it, when you meditate on this question, you'll come to an understanding of how an intuitive connection to how hidden wisdom is revealed in a merciful way. Gevurah is sometimes, in the older systems, is called strength, force. It actually represents limitation, setting boundaries. Keep that in mind when you use the sounds. When you see a word that has a bet with a dagesh and you pronounce the B sound, you are talking about connecting to Gevurah, the judgment, to limitation, the boundary. When you use a word with a V sound, without the dagesh, you're connecting it on a level of merciful and graceful. Is there a question?
Yeah, I have a question.
Go ahead, Bacha.
Why Bereshit starts with a day with the Gevurah? I would think it would start with merciful.
You haven't heard the truth that this world starts with judgment?
Okay.
I'm being facetious, but at the same time, I'm asking you to think.
Yeah, I got it right away.
Okay.
Sure.
This world was created with mercy. The Midrash teaches us, for those of you who didn't get it right away, and it's okay if you didn't.
Oh.
The Midrash teaches us that this world was created with strict judgment. And then Hashem saw that the world could not exist with strict judgment. So he injected mercy. Understand, what is this concept? What is strict judgment? Strict judgment is the way the Quran deals with things. If you steal in an Arab country that is under Sharia law, the punishment, the effect of your stealing is to lose your hand. A world of strict judgment is you steal, your hand falls off. There's a direct one-to-one consciousness and effect. Strict judgment. Thank God we live in a world that has the mercy injected into it. Thank God our Creator recognized our limitation and gave us the gift of mercy. Remember, when we're using these letters, these pairs of letters, we are opening the gates. What gate are we opening? The one of judgment or the one of mercy? There's 231 gates. What does that mean? How do we understand that? We'll come to understand it. Let's look at these two letters. If we go back to the second Mishnah, it says Bet, Vet, Gimel, Gimel. The letter Bet can be pronounced as a B or a V. But it is a metaphor for the true sound of the letter Bet. When you eventually start to meditate and you visualize the Bet, sometimes you'll visualize it with a dagesh and sometimes without. When you touch it, when you talk to it, when you speak to it, when it speaks to you, you can speak and understand what is the sound of the Bet. What is the sound of the Bet with a dagesh? What is the sound of the Bet without the dagesh? What is the energy? What's the difference in those energies? In actuality, it's not a V sound. That's the modern Hebrew. The actual sound with the dagesh is ba. Without the dagesh, it's ve. Going back to Bacha's question, Bereshit started with the bet. There's no dagesh, there's no dots. So we say Bereshit. Everybody in the world says Bereshit. But we also know that it could be Bereshit. When it's Beh, it's without the Dagesh, it's with mercy. When it's Ba, it's with the Dagesh. It's with judgment. Bereshit means in the beginning. Reshit means in a beginning. It doesn't have the definite article. I'm going to hold on one. I see that we've lost one of the people on the... Continuing. The gimel with a soft sound is a gimel. With the hard sound, it's the G, the gimel, the G sound. When I say the prayer over wine, I pronounce it like the Yemenites do. Bori, Bore, Puri, Hajafen. Whoever has got their microphone on in the Uvu call, please mute it so that we can't hear any background noise. So the gimel is either a G, a hard sound, or the J sound, a soft sound. The letter Dalet can be a D, which is a hard sound, or TH, the, ta, a soft sound. And this is a very important halakha that most people never learn. When you say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, the halakha says you must elong the Dalet of Echad. A hard D sound cannot be elongated. The sound is echad. TH, that sound that can be echad, you can elongate that forever. D cannot be elongated. You've been taught the halakha. You are obligated. You are responsible whenever you say the Shema Yisrael from now on to say it with the proper sounds. The letter Kaf. Say again. Batya?
If you would kindly repeat the Shema and Echad, so that's a very important sentence. I want to hear the sound, but that's
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Now I'm going to teach you a spiritual lesson along those same lines of that halakha. As a student of mine, when you do incorrect actions out of ignorance or out on purpose because you're making a mistake as part of learning, if I am responsible for not teaching you properly, the chaos, some of the chaos that comes into your life, some of the negative energy, the boomerang effect that comes to you is attributable to me as your teacher. Please say it properly so that I don't get any of the effect of your saying it wrongly. It's not a desire to receive for myself alone. It's a desire for you to do it properly so that I don't get the chaos. Bechaf. With the dagesh, it's a guttural ch. Without the dagesh, it's a k sound. Ha. But it's a soft K, not a hard K like the Kuf. The Pei and the Fe. Which do you think is the hard sound? The P.
I would think Pei because it's your mouth, and what you say is usually so.
The pei has the dagesh, it's the hard sound. The fei, the soft sound, without the dagesh, the letter F. The letter resh, we only know one sound that is correct. It's the rolling R that I'm going to ask Batya to say because I don't say it properly. If you speak, very good. If you speak Spanish, you're ahead of the curve. You already speak the resh with the rolling sound if Spanish is your native language. We lack the merit to know the correct other sound of the resh. It's been lost over the centuries. I'm of the opinion, because I've had the experience of learning some very small amount of Mandarin when I was traveling in China, There is a sound in the Orient, a letter. It's a sound, not a letter, because they don't have letters. They have pictograms. There is a sound in the Orient that no Westerner who does not grow up learning the language as a child, when his palate can be formed. A Westerner is unable to say the sound properly. That's my opinion of what the correct sound is. I'm going to attempt to give it to you, but know that it's wrong. Tsa, tsa, tsa. That's the sound. They both, the resh and the tsa, comes from the palate part of your mouth. It's only my opinion. We don't know. The taf is the T sound. That's the hard sound with the dagesh. Good Shabbos. We all know the Ashkenazi sound says it's an S. That's not the biblical sound. It's a corruption. The taf and the ta, the th sound. But it's different than the th of the dalet. It's hard to differentiate them. We need to practice. We need to feel. I'm asking you the question, why are there double sounds? Why do these seven letters have two sounds? Why not have seven more letters? Let's have 29 letters. We have alphabets in the world that have more than 22 letters. English has 26. Persian, 32. We know there are alphabets with more than 22 letters. Why didn't the Creator create 29 letters, and why did he make it 22 letters? It's not a rhetorical question, but I'm not going to give you the answer right away.
Is it Gvorah and Chesed at the same time? On the same, you know, everything has like the polarity.
Gvorah and Chesed at the same time as Tiferet. It's the balance point.
Okay.
But we live in a binary world. It's either on or off. We have no middle point. The middle point is real, and it's an illusion at the same time. It's the paradox. Our world is digital. The light is on or the light is off. The light is revealed or the light is concealed. You can't have mercy and judgment simultaneously as a human being. Yet we have Tiferet, we have Keter, we have Yesod, we have the central column, we have the unity of right and left. It's a paradox. The lower Sephirot have an active and a passive aspect. Male and female aspect. They are in unity, yet the male has a female concealed. We discussed this last week. Every man has a subjective female. Every female has a subjective male. This is the reason we need two sounds at the level of emotion. We don't have two sounds at the mother levels. We don't have two sounds at the elemental level, letters. But letters that deal with emotion, letters that deal with this seven lower sephirot, have active and passive aspects, have sharing and receiving aspects, have male and female aspects. When you practice, practice both sounds. Don't think you know what you're doing just with the Dagesh sounds or just with the non-Dagesh sounds. There will be times you need to be doing the other. Practice. Now, I'm going to spend some time. I'm going to take it a little. The next paragraph is coming from the Ari, the writings of the Ari. It is talking about male and female. And in the process, the four phases, the ten luminous emanations, when we learn from Rabbi Ashlag's teachings of the Ari's writings about the ten sephirot, he refers to them as Ma and Ben. Ma has a gematria of 45, Ben has 52. Ma is the gematria of Adam. Ben is the gematria of the sun, S-O-N. Ma represents male. Ben represents female. Ma represents their unpin. Ben represents female, Malchut. All of this is coming from the teachings of the broken vessels and the fallen sparks as a metaphor to understand how we, by doing a good deed, elevate a broken spark, breaking the klipah around that spark and elevating it back to the spiritual frame where it fell from. When the sephirot were created in the first world, the world of dots, when the three columns, actually when the sephirot were created, they were created sequentially. They were created with the inability to communicate with each other, except in a very narrow sense. They could receive from the one above, and they could share to the one below. But they could not communicate between them. We learn in the 10 luminous emanation class, when the light bulb of 5 watts gets plugged into the electrical circuit of 110 volts, there's a communication that takes place. The electricity says to the light, to the bulb, "How much do you want?" And the bulb says, "I want 5 watts. The electricity answers, "You got it." When the sephirot were first created, that conversation could not take place. They had no way to communicate. What is the method of communication? You are taught. We are taught. Many of us think of it intellectually and don't understand it intuitively. We are taught that every frame of reference has 10 sephirot within it. Every chesed has 10 sephirot. Each one of those sephirot has 10 sephirot within it. Each one of those has 10 sephirot within it. All of the chesed's throughout all of the sephirot and all of the worlds and all of the lower and lower and lower levels of consciousness, all of the chesed's are communicating with the other chesed's. This is the conversation. How much do you want? I want 5 watts. I want mercy to this level of quantity. In Givurah says, I want 5 watts at the level of Givurah, the consciousness of judgment. This is the communication. This is the system that the Ari taught that was not understood as a metaphorical explanation in earlier generations. It was understood, but not in the same metaphors. I teach the 10 luminous emanations Wednesday night at 9 p.m. West Coast time. I recommend that you join us. It is the deepest study of Kabbalah. If you're not listening to a Zohar class, in addition to every other advanced class, you should be listening to the 10 Luminous Emanations class. Or if you're truly an energy junkie like me, you'll listen to all three. This class, a Zohar class every week, and the 10 Luminous Emanations class every week. That's not to say, hey, I don't want to, I don't have the time. I understand that. I'm not putting pressure on you. I'm giving you information. The more that you listen to these three types of classes, the more energy you're receiving, the more you're building your vessel. Ma and Ben are metaphors for good and evil. The world of action, the world of the physical, is mostly evil. It's mostly mixed with the desire to receive for oneself alone. Zeron Pin, what we refer to as the heavens, is considered a 50-50 mix. There is some evil and some good, equally matched. How do we switch between Zeron Pin and Malhut, between Ma and Ben? The consciousness of our actions determine where you are. Are you in the world of Ma? The world of Zeron Pin, the world of the male. All of these are metaphors. Or are you in the female? The world of Ben. The world of Malchut. When you change your consciousness, which is what we taught you in the class on binding by striking, you change your world. You change your movie. These are metaphors. You literally move to a movie without or with less chaos, and ultimately can move to a movie with no chaos, so that when you reach into your pocket to take out 2 coins for charity, you won't pick out 3, which on some level is considered chaos. Judgment. Din. Gibura is designed to wake us up so that we do not continue to veil ourselves with more negative actions. This is how Din Gibura is considered merciful. Its consciousness is for our benefit, and yet it's a limitation, a boundary, a pain. It's a paradox. Understand it well. You can only truly understand this paradox at the intersection of your unconscious and your conscious. That's what the Sefer Yetzirah is teaching us. How that intersection, and how do we maintain that intersection? Think about this discussion. Understand, contemplate, intuit, where does mercy exist in judgment? Where does judgment exist in mercy? And how do I move from one to the other? Please do not give me a physical example, because it's all consciousness. The seven letters relate to the Sephirot. Bet is Chesed. In the order of these seven letters, Begad Kafrat, Bet is Chesed, Gimel is Givura, Dalet is Tiferet, Kaf is Netzach, Pe is Hod, Resh is Yesod, Af is Malchut. Here is a different metaphor for you to think about. A letter is a lighthouse. It's a vessel for the revelation of your desire's fulfillment. The form of the letter, the shape of the letter, is to hold the fulfillment so that it can shine out of the fulfillment, shine out of the vessel. There is no limit to the energy of the letters. The energy of the letters are theoretical until you make them practical. These letters relate to your emotions. The emotional aspects relate to the seven double letters, which allows us to truly find power within these letters, even more so than the mother letters. Use the same techniques. Without the full correlations that we're going to get later in tonight and next week, without those correlations, your meditative techniques is practice. It's sandbox play. Your children becoming adults, but you're still in the sandbox. If you were out of the sandbox, if you had become an adult, you would have the understanding and the intuitive sense of how to resurrect the dead, how to change the course of a river, how to bring rain out of season. Here's a beginning correlation. When Bachu read the two Mishneot In the Hebrew that I didn't translate were the terms wisdom, wealth, seed, life, dominance or government, peace, and grace. They have a relationship to the Sephirot, not in the order that they were expressed, but in the order that you see here. Wisdom is Tiferet. Wealth is Netzach. Seed is Yesod. Life is Chesed. Government, dominance, is Malchut. Peace is Giburah. Grace is Hod. How can peace be Giburah? I didn't hear you, but you say it again.
No, I was laughing. Yeah, I was thinking, how can peace be Giburah? Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I understand. It's like finding. If you want the peace, you have to have the strength.
It's the paradox of binding by striking. How do I bring something closer by hitting it and pushing it away? How does it work? The paradox. You're never going to understand it logically, but you can understand it intuitively.
Well, you keep the peace by being strong.
Say again?
You keep the peace by being strong.
You keep the peace by being strong. That is a very nice way to understand it, Joe. Thank you. Actually, to give you a different slant, the way you expressed it was beautiful, Joe. But to give you a different perspective, the Hebrew word shalom, which we all know means peace, comes from the shoresh, the root that means shalem, which means completion. Until every light, every fulfillment is in the proper vessel, we cannot have completion. And the movement of bringing the fulfillment to the proper vessel is a boundary, is Giburah. In this physical world, the seven Sephirot, the seven letters, become 14. Sure, there's two sounds. There's seven letters. Of course, there's 14 sounds. But there's a connection. In Kohelet, Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, and a famous song by the birds, and every time, in every season, there is a time for everything under heaven. Go read chapter 3 of Kohelet. Count the number of times, the number of seasons, the number of essences that Kohelet talks to us about. One is opposite the other. There are 14 good times, and there are 14 restrictive times. There are 14 male times and 14 female times. As we learn a little more, probably mostly next week, we will discuss what those times are. But let's understand this concept of the time under seasons. There's a time for everything under heaven. There is a famous story. You've heard it in different times, different ways, through the different spiritual paths. There were two brothers. They were in business together, and they did very well. Whatever they touched went well. One brother sensed that the times were changing, and he cashed out, and he retired, and he waited. The other brother thought that he was the important aspect of this well business, this good business that they had done together. He kept borrowing more funds. He kept trying to go back into business, in a different business, a different aspect. And he found himself deeper and deeper in debt. After a while, the retired brother that had waited saw that the times had changed again. It was now time to go back into business. And he cashed out the bank, and he bought another business. And he ended up hiring his brother as an employee, not a partner. What's the moral of this story? Why are you being told this story? A Kabbalist is someone who knows the times, who understands the cycle of things, the flow of energy. There are times for everything under the sun, under heaven. There are times. You can fight the times, or you can bend and flow with the times. Your choice. A life lesson that must be learned by every human being. The alternative to this story is, don't people make money in bad times too? Didn't people make money when the stock market crashed 3 years ago? People were being thrown out of work, but people made money. How do we understand this? And I will remind you of a famous Chinese proverb. One second, we lost somebody, we're getting him back.
Well, Mr. Rocky made money.
Say again, Joe?
Mr. Rocky made money.
Exactly. Excellent example. Did he make money because he was smarter than the system?
No.
I think the people who make money are the ones who create this problem.
Well, I don't want to get into that discussion because it'll take us off course right now. But we can have that discussion another time. But I'm going to remind you of a famous Chinese adage. The first generation starts out as a peasant. The second generation becomes a merchant. The third generation takes the money that the merchants created and creates a power base, a political base, a power broker. And then what happens in the fourth generation? They always return to being a peasant. Why did Romney make money when the system was against him? Because his system, his cycle, was in the upswing. It's not that it was against the system. It was not that the power. These times are relative to an individual. They're relative to a location. They're relative to time itself. There are 28 times mentioned in Kohelet. Seven Sephirot times two sounds, seven letters times two sounds. But there's also the idea of direct light and returning light. There is the idea of the flow from heaven coming down and the idea of our actions in this world returning the flow back up. This is binding by striking. There are 28 times. There are 14 good times and 14 difficult times. And they are relative to each of us. We've been talking for an hour and a half, roughly, a little less. I'm not going to go through. We're at the point where we should be talking about the 28 times. We should be talking about and to understand the correlations of these times to the Sephirot, to the letters, to the Dagesh. We'll talk about it next week. Does anybody have any questions?
I just wanted to make a comment that my dad always used to say that when we ask for God for rain, we say, give us rain at his time. So the mercy of God is giving the rain at the right time. So it just made me think of everything has its own time.
It is when we come to understand the prayer, the Amidah prayer, when we come to understand there's twice a year we change. During the winter, we ask for Geshem, we ask for rain. During the summer, after Pesach, we ask for dew. We don't want rain. Why not? The crops that we raise in the spring and in the summer cannot handle the rain. They cannot handle that much moisture. They need the dew. But too much dew is rain, and too much rain becomes a flood. And what is a flood? Too much chesed, too much mercy, and it becomes judgment. In our physical world, we have three forms of water. We have liquid water, ice water, or water as ice, and we have something between them we call snow. They're all mercy. But let me tell you, fall on the ice, it's not merciful. Relative speaking to the times, ice is painful. Ice is judgment, as Pharaoh found out in the plague of hail. You begin to get the sense of why I'm spending so much time intellectually on this class. My teacher said, you guys should know this already. And he just went ahead and listed the 28 times. And he made the correlations for us. as I will do for you next week. But there is so much more to truly know in these correlations, in these times. Not about the meditations, the opening of the gates, the creation of the golem, about life and how to live our life and how to bend in the wind like a willow so that we can stand up and block the wind when we're strong enough. Any other questions?
Another comment.
Go ahead.
Like Romney, they get rich at bad times, they get rich, but they usually get rich at somebody else's expense. Example, the old man Kennedy.
Yes.
And that's one glaring example. And Mitt Romney was blatantly destroyed companies, people working, got them unemployed.
He took a company, he bought a company, he had 10,000 jobs, and when he was through with it, he was wealthier, and there were 6,000 jobs. But that's capitalism at its best, or its worst. Understand this process. Capitalism prides itself on a functional method of allocating resources. Communism prided itself on the allocation of resources were better done by men. Capitalism says it should be done by the market. There's a better system. In today's nomenclature, we talk about win-win. And yet in our world of the illusion of scarcity, everybody who makes money in the stock market makes money at the expense of somebody who had to lose money. Except you forget one thing. You only lose money when you sell the stock. So if somebody sells at a profit on Monday, and the person who held the stock and had lost the value but didn't sell it, a month later, he sells it at a profit over what he paid. It's a win-win because the physical world is an illusion. There is no scarcity. We don't have to live as if there is a scarcity. You live with a scarcity, you create the scarcity. Your consciousness controls. But how do I balance that with the reality that there's not any money in my checking account? And I will tell you what my Kabbalah teacher said to me when I said that to him. What am I going to do? There's no money in the checking account. And he said, write the check. And I said, how can I write the check? There's no money, no bounce. And he said, you didn't hear me. I said, write the check. I didn't say mail the check. Once you manifest the check in the physical world, that money must find its way to the account because your consciousness has defined that value in your checking account. I didn't say when it would find its way to the account. But it must find its way. This is the spiritual system. consciousness controls. Where is your consciousness? Any other questions or comments?
Well, thank you. Certainly, it has to do with this week and the parasha, for sure.
There's always a correlation. There's always a reason. There's always the energy of the parasha will be what you study, what you experience. It will always be there, except when you look for it as a physical cause. Then you'll be fooled by the illusion. I spend a lot of my time writing those emails every week. And a lot of people say to me, I don't understand what you're writing about. I'm writing about the energy so that you can look to see the pattern. What time are we in? What time are you in? Because it's always relative to you. It's always relative to the place that you're in, physical place, spiritual place, and many other different metaphors. Have a beautiful week.
Thank you. Have a great week.
Thank you all. Bye. Bye, Roger.
Bye, Robert.
Bye, Joe. Have a beautiful week, everybody.